Next is report and possible discussion on phase two pumps and stillhouse intake update. John Hoffman.
You know, they say that you're defined by how you respond to crisis, and over the course of the last month with this project, we've had our fair share of crisis. As a primer, the Williamson County Regional Raw Water Line is a pipeline that connects Lake Stillhouse Hollow and Georgetown, and we're in the process of upgrading the pumping capacity of that project from 26 million gallons a day up to 44 million gallons a day. And we're adding two large pumps, two 2,500 horse pumps, to this structure. We were in the process of testing those larger pumps when some problems were noticed. And when we began to look, we found that there were some structural issues around the intake structure itself that really concerned us. So immediately we asked the contractor, Archer Western, to stop the pump testing, and which they did immediately, and we brought some experts out there to assess the intake structure and try to figure out what was going on with the project. While we're doing this, we've got customers in Williamson County that are taking just under 50 million gallons a day out of the lake, out of Lake Georgetown. With our small pumps, we can only move, like I said, 26 million gallons a day, so you can do the math. The levels of Lake Georgetown were going down quite a bit. And we were within, due to Brad's staff calculations, we were within about a month of Round Rock's intake being sucking air. So we took the project out of production. We scheduled a press conference within about 2 days, and we went public with the need to conserve water. And the four customers of the project, which are taking water out of Lake Georgetown right now, which is Georgetown, Round Rock, Rushy Creek Mud, and Chisholm Trail Special Utility District, all attended the press conference and all committed themselves to emergency drought conditions and literally took that 47, 48 million gallons a day of demand out of Lake Georgetown down to 15. Next slide, please. Now, here's the intake structure itself. And the problem was isolated to this bridge structure here. The pipeline itself out of the intake actually runs underneath the bridge structure. There's four different sections of pipe here, and those pipe sections are joined with couplings, which are basically rings that are bolted on the outside of those. There's four of them in between the pump house and the shoreline. When we had the guys from the coupling manufacturers come out and inspect this, and they literally put a guy in a basket and lowered him over the side of the bridge, they noticed on number two, which is right off this piling here, that there appeared to be oxidation. There was rust ring that was on there, and they figured that coupling had failed. Next slide, please. I'm going to walk you through what we did to repair that. This is a little mock-up that we've done. It's kind of crude, but it'll help you understand what we've done. Go to the next slide, please. Here's a cutaway that shows you how that coupling kind of goes over the outside of this, and I've got a picture here in a second that I can show you physically how that actually works. Go to that, please. Each piece of pipe has welded around the outside of it a restraint ring. You can think of it just like a metal lip that runs around the outside of that, and it's on each end. Then inside of that goes an O-ring gasket or a rubber ring. This coupling goes on the outside of that, and the restraint ring seats up against the outside ring of this coupler. The rubber gasket fits in the little indention that goes in there. And the whole thing's bolted on the outside of this. Now, this one here is a one-piece. This pipe that we're talking about here is 42 inches, so it's big enough where ours is a two-piece, and it's actually clamped on in two different places. And what we figured out was that this had rusted out so that it couldn't seat up against this. So the idea is that this coupling allows the pipe to expand and contract a little bit as temperature and pressure would allow. And what happened is when the little ring went out, now all of a sudden it can move too much on that one end where it failed. Now, the interesting thing is It doesn't appear that we ever lost seal with the O-ring, because there was no sign of any kind of water leak or anything like that along with the coupler joint. So let's go to the next slide, please. Go back. We looked at going in and doing a replacement and actually taking one of these out and bringing in another one. But what was figured out pretty quickly was it was going to take them too long to basically get us another one. So we had to come up with another way, and we had engineers looking basically around the clock trying to come up with a faster way to be able to approach this repair. Now let's go to the next slide. Now while all this stuff is going on, we've got customers out there that have outlawed outdoor watering. I mean, they've gone from watering 2 days a week to no outside watering. The nurseries are allowed to keep their stock alive. The commercial car washes in Round Rock are prohibited from operating. The commercial car washes in Georgetown that use reclaimed water were allowed to continue in operation. So you had large sectors of the business side of the community that were heavily impacted. Anybody that had received waivers from the city to establish yards or landscaping lost those waivers. So if you had $20,000 worth of landscaping for your business that you'd installed, you didn't have the ability to keep that alive. So there was a great deal of pressure being applied to those cities, plus the fact that they were losing revenue every day from lost water sales. Because it had been so hot and so dry, they were making a lot of revenue off of selling water. So they wanted BRA to respond quickly to get the problem fixed and to get water flowing as soon as possible. Now, because of the time it took to bring in a replacement, what they decided to do was actually go inside the pipe and install, and I'm not making this up, it's a butt strap. When we had the press conference, we didn't call it that because, for obvious reasons, it wasn't a very public-friendly comment, but the butt strap would be installed on the inside of the pipe. And if you'll remember that gap in between the pipes that we had out here that the coupler went on the outside of, we were talking about going inside and laying this basically in two pieces on the inside of the pipe and welding it in place and then grouting over the outside of it. Now, let's go to the next slide. This is a cutaway kind of version of this. You can see how literally on the inside of the pipe, the first section was laid in on the bottom with a welder and a welder's helper inside this 42-inch line. And then they put the second piece, go to the next slide, put the second piece on there, welded it up tight, and then came over the outside of it, and they laid a mortar or a grout on the outside of it. And the reason why that's important is so it, the inside of the pipe is smooth and we don't lose any of the efficiency of testing, because this is a large piece of infrastructure that communities in Williamson County are going to have to rely on for decades. So it had to be done right. Now, let's go to the next slide, please. So when it's all finished up, after it's welded on four passes on each side, that's kind of what you end up with buttoned up from the inside. Now, let's go. One more slide, please. Now, after we had finished that repair, we installed some very sensitive measuring equipment, and we started pump testing again. And we started with the small pumps that we'd had that were ours, the 1250s. And what we figured out pretty quick was there was still too much movement in the line. Once we just brought it up with the small pumps, there was more movement than what we had anticipated. And so that got the engineers back to work to try to figure out what the problem was. And what they had figured out was over the course of the project and the internal butt strap and all of that stuff, the header pipe was now just a tad bit too long. And they estimated that it was about an inch and a half too long. So what they decided to do was to come in up here and sever this header pipe, take out an inch and a half of that pipe, and then remeasure after you'd loosened up everything here on the pumps, and allowed everything to line back up where it's supposed to be, make sure there wasn't anything in the wrong place, and take it up very gradually to where everything was lined up and plumb as it was supposed to be, and then in this event, we would actually install an external butt strap on the outside of the header pipe. and put that in place that way. So it wasn't that everything was bad out of whack. In fact, we had the pump manufacturers come out there on site, and they gave a verbal assessment that said, no, it looks externally, everything looks like it's fine. It was just making sure that there wasn't a concern for the things inside of those pumps that over a long period of time, if they were off just a little bit, it could cause durability problems with the project. So what we did was we did that, took an inch and a half out up here, loosened up all the stuff in between the pumps themselves and the header pipe, allowed everything to settle out and readjust. Then we installed harness restraints on the outside of this pipe to allow it to be gradually taken up, where they could take measurements, precise measurements, along this whole system. They did that. They installed the external steel strap. I'll show you a picture of that here in just a second. There was four of those harnesses on the outside so they could make those adjustments very good detail and precisely adjust that gap so that it would be right for the alignment of these pipes. Hanson Pipe, again, sent their welder and their welder's helper to come out here and do this, and we, several of us, were out there to watch him do that, and I swear the welder didn't have bones in him. He had he was like a snake because he was able to literally drape himself over the top of the pipe and hang over the pipe to do this welding job, and it was actually pretty amazing to see. Now let's go to the next picture, please. This is that harness system, and it looks familiar, like one of the things that you saw out there when we were talking about the West Central Brazos line. And this is what was used. They put these in place and welded them in place before they removed the section of the header pipe. And it allowed everything to stay in line. And then once that inch and a half section of the header was removed, they used the threads on these things to be able to adjust it up the amount that the engineer said. And they eventually took 3/4 of an inch of give out of what was removed. And that was what was enough to be able to line it up. And this picture is the picture of the butt strap chained on there just prior to being tacked on. Next slide. This is what it looked like after it was welded up. And I believe these are 3-pass weld jobs on the outside of this, and then they had to climb inside the pipe and go in and regrout everything. And I think that was probably the worst job out of the whole deal, is climbing back in there and doing that. Now, we decided to leave. You'll notice these restraint systems in place. If for some reason we ever had to go back and readjust the header length, we've got these in place to be able to go in and do it. Plus, you don't have to worry about disturbing the outside of the pipe and heating that pipe back up again whenever you removed them. Now, after this was all said and done, we had to go back and go back a slide, 2 slides, please, very quickly. We had to go back and button all this stuff up and get ready for the pump test. And now go forward again, please, 2 slides. They hooked up some very sensitive measurement equipment on there and put it all the way down the line. And I mean, I'm literally talking about them. They're checking for thousandths of an inch of movement within this thing. They brought the small pumps up. There was a little bit of movement, but it was within spec. Then they brought the larger pumps up. Well, wait a minute. See, that's where the rub started. Because when we went to Archer Western and told them that it was time for them to bring the larger pumps online, they balked. Now, a detail that I didn't throw in earlier is that this problem with the header pipe and this problem with the coupling, that was our problem, not Archer Western's, because that's the old existing part of the line. It didn't have anything to do with the Phase 2 pump project. So we were responsible for going in and fixing this. Archer Western was in the tail end, the last 3 days of their pump tests on those large pumps. So, and they're behind schedule by months now and accruing liquidated damages by the day. So they were very frustrated and very upset that we required them to stop the pump tests to go in and do this. And since technically they hadn't finished the pump tests, they still own those pumps. So we couldn't operate those pumps without assuming liability and potentially maybe even voiding our warranty. So when we contacted Archer Western and Archer Western balked, it was a very serious concern on our part. Let's go to the next slide, please. So when we When we realized what the situation was, we were able to go back to our engineers at Friesen Nichols, and we knew kind of what the nature of some of our contractual disputes with Archer Western was. And we realized that Archer Western had a lot of money riding on these liquidated damages, and they seized on a vulnerability to be able to basically cause us to come to the table. And the thing that had really compounded this was that after the pump company had been out on site and said, y'all, it doesn't look like anything y'all have done and messed up with the pumps, they came back around behind in a letter to Archer Western and said, now we can't vouch for what's going on inside those pumps unless you pull the pumps and send them to our facility where we can do an assessment on them. So they upped the ante against BRA with Archer Western by calling into question the long-term viability of the pumps and potentially the warranty for the pumps. So Archer Western is not in a happy place in the background of all of this, and it required us to have to go to them and deal with both the issue that Sulzer threw on the table and the issue of mostly our liquidated damages. And Laura Lee spent a great deal of time looking through the contractual documents and meeting with our technical services staff and meeting with the Friesen Nichols folks trying to come up with a way to take care of this. And by the way, we had about 48 hours to do this. Because when we had our press conference, we were asked by the reporters how long this was going to take to fix. And thinking we had a fair amount of lead time with the first problem that I brought to your attention, we said, we think we can get this done and test it out in 2 weeks. So at this stage of the game, we're now running into the middle part of the second week, latter part of the second week. We've got the customers that are losing money every day that they're not allowed to water with a lot of political heat coming down their way. And we've got a contractor that will not turn on the large pumps. So when we got right down to it, we decided to go ahead and put not a negotiating position on the table, but a get the deal done position on the table. And basically told the folks at Archer Western that that's what we were going to do. And through some negotiation, we were able to come up with a viable alternative that made them feel good enough to turn the pumps on. And they did, within 24 hours, they had the Smith Pump Company come in as an independent third party to make sure that those pumps were brought up on into service and done so in a way that didn't endanger the pumps in any way and preserve the long-term viability of our warranty status. And that's what they did. Now, they haven't signed the agreement that we sent to them yet, but they agreed to it enough in principle where they had their staff show up out there and turn on the pumps, and we're moving 44 million gallons a day of water through that pipeline right now. And from our customer's perspective, that was the important part. Let's go to the next slide, please. These guys right here are some of the guys that spent a good deal of their time over those couple of weeks, more or less around the clock, working on this problem. We had people that were contractors that were out there, obviously the Smith Pump folks, Friesen Nichols, the Hanson Pipe people were fantastic. Literally, these folks had crews turn around within 24 hours and show up out on our site and help us out. And it was amazing the type of response that we had because of that. And then when you go to this group of characters here, these are all internal BRA staff. And we had folks from technical service like Terry Lopez and Mark Stendahl and David Jones and Larry Model and Lee Backus and all of those guys from technical services that were out in the field with our field staff on a day-in, day-out basis. And then out of my group, we had Donald Malavets and E.J. Packle. And Dirk had a cot out there or something, lived out there. Jay Middleton, some of the staff from the Temple Belton facility. I mean, literally, those guys were out there on a moment's notice, trying to be there and be available in case they could do something to make it move faster to get water flowing to our customers. And then we had people from the central office that pitched in and helped work through this thing. We had everybody from Judy and her team, Beck. Laura Lee, Brad and his team got directed to do hydrologic analyses about every 6 hours from somebody wanting to know, well, what if we do this? How long do we have? Well, what if we do this? How long do we have? Because we were always comparing our action plan against how much time we had before Round Rock ran out of water. And then, of course, from my group, David Collinsworth was pretty much on this around the clock, 24/7. So
A couple of things. The movement that was done was caught on a routine thing after the bus strap, or the coupling inside, on the other side of the wall, underneath the walkway there, the driveway. After that failed, it was our guys that caught the movement on a routine basis and saw the deterioration and started this process and work. The guy back there with his hand up on the pipe, his wife literally, after they've been out for 18, 20 hours, brought food for the whole smear out there, fed the whole group where they could continue working. These guys, after they made the first deadline and got the pumps going, literally said to John and others that we felt compelled, and this was the proudest thing that I've ever done. I'm not making that up. I mean, they genuinely felt that way. We learned a lot. We learned that to go from 53 million gallons a day down to 15, if you have to, for a short period of time, is quite a feat. The people of Williams County are to be commended for doing that. Now, then there's always those out there that want to blame somebody, and that's why we come to work with a bullet laying a target paint on our back. I mean, that's what we get paid to do. But these guys right here, the heroes that made this thing work, what do we still have to do? We got to go back now and say, kind of goes back to our SWOT discussion earlier. As you change things, there's four more pumps in the large grand scheme of things. Go back to that first slide where you can see the intake, please. The first picture slide.
Slide two.
There's four more pumps that are scheduled to go in here. So what's going to, two more.
For us.
And so the question is, what's the increase in volumetrics of all that? What impact is that going to have on this? So we need to look at that to now we're smarter, so you can make the same mistake twice. But the problem is, where were the guys that way. I'm proud of these guys, proud of John. People worked hard to get this online.
Well, Phil, I mean, let me say that not only did they have the pressure from the customers, but they had pressure from a daily panicked phone call from me. And Phil kept me very up to date, and I think y'all did yeoman's work, and so my hat's off to the staff, and I think they saved the day. So I think that just shows what's possible when we do what we need to do.
Brief comment and question. Since I live in Round Rock and we were right in the middle of this in Williamson County, and I do think the staff and VRA did such a great job responding, but there was a huge perception that this was not a very complicated problem, that everyone was repeating pipe coupling, and why that took so long to get fixed. It did seem to take a long time, and I don't know if there was something missed in the press releases, but I heard that from the city manager of Round Rock. There was a perception
it took a long time,
given how quickly we as communities responded.
The Williamson County press that attended the press event really had a difficult time. They wanted something simple. They wanted something simple that they could understand, and trying to make them understand how these couplings work and a 15-minute press conference was a non-starter.
And so, they thought that you had it at Lowe's, at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just go there?
Well, how come you just don't have one of these? How come you just don't have one of these?
I heard the comments more in the stages of testing, like, what, in a drought, why are we doing such elaborate testing? Can we just get it fixed?
Because we don't want to undermine the structural integrity of your intake that you have to have, Round Rock, to be able to go 40 years on this intake structure.
I think that's the message that maybe got lost, because I don't make comment on this stuff, but I'm just telling you, there was a lot. This was a severe issue.
Part of what we also struggle with, too, is we cannot get out ahead of our customers. So the city of Round Rock, the city of Georgetown, Brushy Creek Mud folks, you funnel your information to and through them understanding that they are the retail interface. And so there are times when you present that information to the best of your ability to them, understanding that they're going to transfer that information however they choose to do it. And so sometimes you would like to maybe be more blunt, but because we work with multiple parties, you can't always get that coordinated. There's a concern that you could cause a reaction that's not what people are anticipating whenever you go in and do that.
And it was difficult to get four entities to do the same thing.
And we still struggle with that. From a conservation standpoint, you'd have, you know, one city doing one thing and the other city not doing that, and, you know, one city pointing at the other one going, how come they get to do this and we don't get to do this?
And quick follow-up question. I just, as a new board member, I don't know. The authority has no, we don't have authority to enforce any of this, right?
No.
Because there was some infighting between, and Bob Tesh is in here, so I can't bend his ear, but Round Rock saying, well, Sun City and all the retirees aren't following it the way the rest of us are sucking up to address this emergency.
That's right.
And I'm thinking to myself, so we don't do anything. We just make a recommendation, given what we see.
In our plan, we have the ability to go to them and ask for a certain amount of reductions. In this particular instance, our reduction amount was 7% on our drought plan. But we didn't need 7%. We needed, you know, 65% reduction.
But we can't enforce that, though.
No, ma'am. We don't have the ability to go in and make anyone do anything. I think the hammer that we have in some of our contracts, or most of our contracts, is we can revoke their contract.
All steel.
Now, realistically, are we going to revoke their contract? Now, the bully pulpit might be a way that you would coerce someone to do more. In today's environment, one of the things about the environmental consciousness that's out there is when you're in a dire situation like what we're in right now and you need conservation and somebody's not willing to do conservation, they look pretty silly in the public domain. So that's probably the best way for us to enforce the provisions of any kind of drought plan that we've got through that bully pulpit and through the public domain, maybe more so than the any kind of a regulatory hammer that we would have.
Let's take a quick five. You know, the cookies are here, so let's take a quick break and stretch your legs.